As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of the Lord.
As we sit, let's pray. Father, as well as reviewing the past year, we ask that this morning we would hear your voice. We would come to your word with humble hearts. We want to be a church that is led and directed by you, for your word to be our teacher and guide. And we pray that that would be so in these next few minutes, to your glory. Amen. This annual review Sunday is the opportunity to kind of see where we're up to as a church. It's always good to do that from time to time, to stand back and to ask, what's going well? What could we do better? Where are we failing? It's good to do that in our own individual lives, isn't it? To ask ourselves, how's my praying going? Where are my spiritual blind spots? Is there a way that I could be serving Jesus that I'm not doing at the moment? But this morning, we're thinking about ourselves corporately as the body of Christ in this place. Now, as we look at ourselves, there are things that we could be doing better. We're not very good at praying together. Our church prayer life is not very strong. Some of our home groups have struggled for regular members. But as I look back over the last 12 months, there is a great deal to be thankful for, to be saying thank you to the Lord for what he's been doing. We've seen the refurbishment of our church building here with much more flexible and updated facilities. I think some of us had reservations about that amount of money being spent, and it wouldn't have been possible without the legacy from Jan Norris, which was, of course, dedicated to being spent on the buildings. But what a difference it has made. The whole place is much more open and contemporary in its feel, and has, I think, been universally well received. That, of course, is not always the case. Sometimes such a project can be very divisive in a church. I know of only one person who has chosen to leave because the pews were being removed. That, of course, is one person too many. But I want to say to you, if you're somebody who laments the loss of the pews, then thank you. Thank you for being so gracious in accepting the change. As I say, that's not always the case. So thank you. Thank you to George and Ian, who worked so hard and gave such a lot of time to make the project a success. I'm thankful too for the warm room project of this past year. It was surely a right instinct that as energy costs spiralled in the autumn, we should consider how we might use our facilities to use those who might be struggling. So thank you to Anna for initiating that, and to all those involved. As it turned out, the offer wasn't greatly taken up, but good things came out of it, especially for those involved. And it was a lovely example of serving in the way of Jesus. Another highlight of the past year have been the conversation classes, which have been so well subscribed and appreciated by many. I remember 2 or 3 years ago having some discussions in the leadership team and on the church council about how we might serve our community, a community where many seem to be doing fine as they are. Thank you very much. And then along came COVID-19, and suddenly we were able to offer shopping and so on to those who are isolating. And here again is another opportunity where God has brought into our community those who are glad to have some help in English conversation. So we give thanks to God for Alison and Nick and Anne and all who've assisted on those teams. It really has helped to put us on the map as a welcoming church. Which brings me on to the thing which we are surely most thankful for over the past year. And that is all of you who have joined us over the last 12 months. It has been delightful to welcome you. Some who are long-standing Wilmslow residents, some who have fled from the Ukraine, and all those who've come from Hong Kong and left behind homes and families. Your joining us has had such a positive impact upon this church. It's been lovely to see growing numbers in our Sunday clubs and how the team there have adapted. It is so helpful that we are now a better representation of multicultural Britain today. And above all, we are a better and more obvious demonstration of the power of the gospel. Our differences help us to display the unity that is ours in Christ. It has been a year of great blessing. Yes, there have been personal tragedies and there are ongoing struggles. Let's be open and honest about that. As Christians, we're always limping. But today is a good opportunity to stop and count our blessings. Most of all, it will be those eternal and unchanging blessings that are ours in Christ. The gift of forgiveness and friendship and a future with the God who made us. Great blessings. But we also give thanks for his goodness to us as a church over the last 12 months. Now, I thought it would be helpful if this morning we go back to our motto verse for the year for a few minutes. Do you remember that? Back at the beginning of January? Well, it seems a while ago. Here it is. From the start of our reading this morning, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. If you've not got one of those cards on your fridge door at home, well, there are still a few spares at the back. So here are people who are being encouraged to come to him, to come to Jesus. Now, we might think that that invitation is addressed to unbelievers, but we do invite them to come to Jesus. But actually, Peter is writing to Christians. He's writing to those who already are believers. And he says to them, as you come to him, as you keep on coming to Jesus, it's not something that we do just once and that's it. No, as Christians, we keep on coming to Jesus, looking to him, drawing near to him, turning to him with the empty hands of faith. Will this year ahead be a time when we are coming to Jesus individually and as a church? It is a wonderful invitation, isn't it? Come to him, the living stone. Yes, Jesus is the sure foundation of our lives. The finished work of rescue through the cross is a firm foundation. As we come to him, we find a security that cannot be shaken, a confidence that is sure because it is based on what he has done, a future that is certain because it depends upon his saving grace alone. He is the living stone. The living stone. So as we come to him, we find life. Life with the God who made us, life eternal. As we come to him, we are being made living stones. He's the source of life. What an invitation this is. How do we come to him? How does that happen? Well, we need to connect verse 4 here with the previous verse. Peter's just been urging his friends to keep craving pure spiritual milk. Next slide, I think, please. There we are. The spiritual milk of the Lord's word. As we engage with Christ's word, we're engaging with Christ himself. That is how we come to Jesus. It's what those two disciples on the way to Emmaus, who we met last Sunday, discovered, wasn't it? They were kept from recognizing the risen Jesus so that they might meet him in his word before they saw him with their eyes. And as soon as that happened, well, he disappeared. It didn't last. He had given them the thing that would last, coming to Jesus through his word. Here at St. John's, we make much of the Bible. We take the Bible very seriously. But studying the Bible is never an end in itself. We read the Bible, we seek to understand the Bible so that we might come to Jesus. Look to him, growing in dependence upon him. Now we do that individually in our own reading of the Bible. It's what we do in a big group here on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening. It's also what our small groups are about. Reading the Bible so that we might come to Jesus together. I really want to encourage every member of this church to belong to one of our small groups. Such a blessing to you and to the rest of the group. As well as our home groups, which get restarted next week, There is also a new Inquirer's course, The World We All Want, which is starting on Wednesday evening for those who are thinking things through and still asking questions. We're also going to be offering some small groups if English is not your first language, and that would that it would make it hard for you to effectively join in one of our home groups. So simpler English Bible studies starting on Friday, either an afternoon or an evening. We want to be a multicultural church. We don't want to split into our different cultures. So it's right that we meet all together on a Sunday. But we recognize that that's hard if it's always in a foreign language for you. Now, it would be wonderful if we could find a Cantonese-speaking pastor, but in the meantime, we'll do the best we can, and the same goes for a Ukrainian Bible study as well. See, we really are serious about everybody being in a small group, coming to Jesus, the living stone, alongside others. And did you notice from our motto verse what happens next as we come to Jesus? As you come to him, jump the Brit in brackets, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, being built into God's temple, God's dwelling place. Do you see how those two things happen together? It's as we come to Jesus that we are being built together. Those are not separate things. We don't come to Jesus and then sometime later get built together. No, it's actually as we come to Jesus that the building together happens at the same time. As we come to Jesus, God is joining us to each other. So joining the church is not another decision that you make after you become a Christian. It's not an optional extra. After all, this is God's great building project through all of human history. It is the reason for which the cornerstone was laid. If someone doesn't bother about a local church, then there's a real question mark over whether they have really come to Christ at all. The two are inseparable. As you come to him, you are being built into God's temple. I hope you can see why we're passionate about small groups here at St. John's. No Christian can say, I've got my relationship with God. I don't need to bother with a church. Sure, it might be hard work sometimes. We living stones can sometimes knock the corners off each other. Sometimes we might feel like we want to get away from all those other living stones. But we are part of it. As we come to Jesus, God is building us together. As our culture becomes increasingly individualized, we need to remind ourselves that we cannot be individualistic Christians. The church is God's support network for every believer. Rampant individualism of today says, you be you. You make sure that you look after yourself, free to be yourself. It has no place for sacrificing self for the sake of others, except perhaps for your immediate circle of family and friends as a kind of extension of yourself. It tells us that we should cut out the negative people out of our lives so that we should be free to flourish. And the danger is that we absorb something of that. We begin to justify a circle of friends who are just like us, whose lifestyle fits our own. But we must run to do the opposite. After all, if Jesus had cut out the negative people out of his life, he'd have been left with nobody but himself. Instead, he went to the cross for exactly those people. And that's the sort of commitment that we are to give to each other as God's temple. Living stones like the living stone. The church which creates deep community across differences of class and culture and generation is a powerful advert for the gospel. As Western culture fragments into toxic tribalism, churches which are deep and real in their life together will be wonderfully magnetic. And all of that happens as we come to Jesus. As we come to Jesus, we are built together. How does that happen? What is that connection between the two? Well, we can only come to Jesus as empty-handed sinners. If I am relying on my good works, if I stand before God on the basis of my morality, then that's what I'm trusting in, instead of Jesus. We can only come to Jesus as empty-handed sinners, which puts us all on the same level, all at ground zero. We all come as empty-handed sinners, with nothing to offer, nothing to claim, only to receive his mercy and grace and forgiveness. So differences of brain power or spending power, differences of background or culture or upbringing count for nothing. They no longer divide as they once did, because we all come as empty-handed sinners. It is this gospel of grace which unites us together as nothing else can. We'll be seeing something of that in the letter of Romans that we are going to start looking at next week. It's as we come to Jesus that we are being built together. And when we are ethnically diverse, that gospel of grace is displayed so much more. After all, what else would bring together such a mixed bag of people? Only that we are saved by grace. Now, coming to Jesus and being built together is going to be so important in the year ahead, because there is a major challenge that we are facing in the next 12 months. I don't want it to distract us from our priority as a church, the priority of making disciples of Jesus. But I do need to warn you. As some will know, back in February, the General Synod of the Church of England, that's the decision-making body of the denomination, chose to accept the proposals for the blessing of same-sex relationships. They're not finally authorised yet. The plan is for that to happen in July. Now, that is a decision which is a historic watershed in the Church of England. It means that the denomination is tragically departing from the foundation of the Bible. And as a church council, we have unanimously decided that that is not a journey that we can be part of. That overturning of the of what the Bible clearly says and how it has always been understood. Now, the Church of England, let me just explain, the Church of England is divided up into lots of different regions known as dioceses. Next slide there, I think. There we are. Across the whole country. And each diocese, each region, is overseen by a bishop. The bishop has oversight of all the vicars in his diocese. Now, sadly, our own bishop, the Bishop of Chester, next slide, there we are, voted in favour of those proposals at General Synod. And so we felt that we had to withdraw the invitation for him to take the confirmation service a few weeks ago. We are in the regrettable position of being out of communion with our own bishop. And he has agreed to come and meet with the church council at the end of May. So do please pray for that, that he will understand that it's nothing personal, but it will help him to see that we, and indeed many other churches within the diocese, simply cannot be part of such a journey. Now, how things will develop nationally is very unclear at the moment. There has been a strong and united voice of protest to these proposals from evangelical churches, saying that the blessing of same-sex unions, that if that is approved, then there will need to be some clear separation, two different types of Church of England, if you like. One which is prepared to rewrite the Bible, and the other which seeks to live under the Bible. That is what is being asked for, that sort of separation. I think, sadly, it is unlikely to be offered. I think they will only say that clergy don't have to use these prayers if they don't wish to. But we would still be in partnership with those who are doing so. And that's a journey that we cannot share in. So it may be that even within the next 12 months, we are forced outside the existing structures of the Church of England. I'm praying that that won't be necessary. What it might look like is too early to say. But as we look at the next 12 months, it is a regrettable possibility. I'm very happy for you to ask questions about that later on this morning. It's important that we are open and aware of what is happening. Each of us to have an understanding. But let's make sure that we're not distracted by it. So let me mention a few other challenges and opportunities for the year ahead, which are thankfully much more to do with our core activity of making disciples of Jesus here in Wilmslow. We need to work hard at integrating new members. That's what those small groups I mentioned earlier are aiming to do. But it's also about inviting one another into our homes, into our lives. I hope you'll be taking up those opportunities. If you're a long-standing member, I hope you'll be creating those opportunities. We need to be supporting different ethnic groups. Again, it's what the Simpler English Bible Study and the Ukrainian Bible Study will be hoping to do. But I'm sure that there's much more that we could be doing. Next, setting up an independent charitable trust, a gospel trust. as we face the future, such a trust fund might be very useful. If by God's grace we continue to grow, then such a trust fund might be able to fund additional workers, which would help with the previous point about supporting different groups. The leadership team are at early stage of thinking about such a trust fund, but it is something that we need to be getting on with. Next, and a bit more specific, we will be holding a holiday club at the end of the summer holidays. If you've got primary school age children, then please keep that week free. Don't go away on holiday that week. And do be planning to invite other families to join us in the week. And we will need a larger team of leaders and helpers this year. So if you've never done it before, why not dip your toe in the water this year? It is always a great week to be part of our holiday Bible club. We need some more helpers in our Sunday children's groups. Maybe that's something that you could offer to do in the year ahead. Maybe starting off as an occasional helper. Please speak to Leonie. We're aiming to relaunch the Wilmslow lunchtime Christian group. That's something that disappeared during lockdown, and we need to get it going again. It will be a great a joint venture with St. Chad's Hanforth. So if you've got children at Wilmslow High School, then do please look out for that. Again, perhaps somebody could volunteer to help. And something else which needs a bit of a relaunch is the Who Let the Dads Out, the monthly Saturday morning for dads and younger children. It's struggled a bit with needing people to resource it. So if you're a dad prepared to be part of that team, then do have a word with me. Well, there's some challenges and opportunities for the year ahead. I'm sure there are other things, like another church weekend away, perhaps. But without God's blessing, we will not achieve anything at all, unless God builds his church. Nothing will happen unless he brings people to Jesus. So that brings us to one last thing, our church prayer life. We've tried prayer breakfasts, we've tried prayer evenings. We want to encourage prayer in our small groups, but we're not really very good at praying together. I'd love to see that change in the coming year. That is a challenge for all of us. Because it's the Lord, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Now, that list of things will reappear over coffee time this morning. And so maybe just as you have your coffee, then whoever you're chatting to, why not talk about some of these things? And there will be, there's a question box at the back. There are some little slips of paper, white slips of paper. Over coffee time, why not jot down a question or a comment or a thought connected with any of those, and pop it in the box, and we'll come back to it later on this morning. How are we going to face those challenges and those opportunities? Well, only by coming to Jesus. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you for that glorious invitation to come to the Lord Jesus. Thank you that it is an invitation which is full of grace and mercy and kindness. Thank you that you have enabled many of us to take up that invitation. We pray that you'd help us to go on doing so, day by day, week by week, year by year, to be a people drawing near to him, turning to him with those empty hands of faith, in humble dependence upon his mercy, his grace. And Father, we come to you with these challenges and opportunities of the year ahead, feeling somewhat overwhelmed and uncertain, but knowing that we can trust you, trust the great God who is good and kind, the God who sent his Son to be that living stone. In his name, amen.